We've been talking about abiding. We've been talking about love. At the end of chapter 3, John tells us that we've been indwelt by the Spirit of God. It says, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." So John reaffirming that thought that we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And so now John's going to circle back around to doctrine. Just how important it is that we know the truth, that we believe the truth. Yes, it's important as a body that we are connected, that our relationships are vibrant, that we love each other, that we care about each other. But there also has to be a basis of truth that comes from the Word of God. That's the basis of our love for each other. And so John, as he begins this next section here, as we begin chapter 4, he tells us then to test the Spirit. Right? Test the Spirit. Yes, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. But you need to test the Spirit. You need to be discerning. You need to be careful who you're listening to and what you're listening to. Central to the passage we're looking at this morning is this thought of overcoming. If you look at verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So John gives us thought of being an overcomer. That word literally means victorious, a conqueror, one who has conquered. Our English translation murders us. The thought, because in English we just do not have the ability to give the right tense to it. In the Greek, it's in a perfect tense. And the perfect tense is something that's been accomplished and we are living with the results of that accomplishment. And we have no way to delineate that in English at all. We don't. And so we put it in a past tense. And John, it's not, it is past, but it's present. It's this thought of something certainly that's active, that's going on. And so, yes, there's a completed sense that we have victory in Jesus Christ. This thought of overcoming, it stands complete and it stands complete currently. And so we are living in the light of that, living in victory, living with the results of what Christ has done in our everyday lives right now. And that victory and that conquest is certainly anchored in Christ and in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we see this thought of being an overcomer. We see this thought of being victorious, certainly over the flesh, over sin, over the world. We see those things as an important part of sanctification, as an important part of living a life of a Christian. We see that in the book of Revelation. Not Revelations. Sorry, I'll just put my 2 cents in there. I'm still looking for that book. People keep quoting Revelations to me, and I haven't found that book in my Bible. Revelation, right? Revelation, in the chapters 2 and 3, we see, right? We see the seven churches. We see Jesus writing these letters to the churches. His passion for these churches, one of those churches, the first church, is the church at Ephesus. That's who John's writing to right here. Right, same. And just a couple years later, after he writes this, John then has the vision on the island of Patmos, and he receives those letters written by Christ to these seven churches of Asia. And certainly Ephesus is commended for their doctrine. They're commended that they know the truth and they stand for the truth. Certainly they had Paul was there for a time. 40 years before John, he was there. John or Paul was there. And now John is there. Again, we're in like 90, right? Or like Paul was there like in the 50s. And so John's there much later on. But still, right? They have an apostle that's there teaching them. So certainly a church very anchored and knows the truth. And John's encouraging them as we look at this letter that he's been writing and to the believers. But they had one criticism. And the criticism that Jesus has of this church is that they had left their first love. You've left your first love. Yes, you know the truth and you stand for the truth, but you have lost that joy and that relationship in Jesus Christ. And so they're encouraged then to overcome, to live victorious. And then Jesus writes to the other six churches. And all those churches, when you look at a map, are circled around Ephesus. They were all connected. Ephesus was the mother church. All those churches were connected or have been planted by the church at Ephesus. And some of them, two of them, Jesus doesn't criticize at all. He just commends them and tells them to be faithful. Another two churches, he has nothing positive to say. He just criticizes them because they're on the verge of losing being a church. And then others, the others, he has some positive and some negative things to say to encourage them. But at the end of each of those letters, he tells them to overcome. They're all told to overcome, to be victorious. And with that thought of overcoming is this promise of reward. A reward that's based in, it's tied to the identity of who Jesus Christ is. And it's tied into this thought of eternal life, our hope that is in Jesus Christ. And it's tied into that. And so the question is, if overcoming is automatic, right? If it's automatic, then why does John tell us to be overcomers? Why does Jesus tell the seven churches in Asia, overcome? Right? If it's automatic, why do we need that encouragement? Are all believers overcomers? Now, I believe all genuine believers will overcome. But we are not always living in that victory, are we? We are not always living in a way that is victorious, in a way that is overcoming. We can live carnally. We can live fleshly. We can become worldly. We can, for a time. And so John is encouraging them once again, and he's already told them, don't love the world or the things of the world. He's encouraging them once again to be victorious, to be overcomers. And certainly part of that is knowing the truth. So I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 6, and then we'll go back through this. John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is a spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And so I just have 2 points this morning. In each of those points, there are 2 sub-points. One will be a positive, looking at things from a positive perspective, and the other will be from the negative. And I want to start off with this thought of questions that lead to victorious living. I think John poses for us 2 questions here that lead to that thought of what it means to be an overcomer, what it means to be to conquer and to live victorious in our lives right now. And as John starts off here, he says, test the spirits, question the spirits. Not everyone who claims to hear from the Lord is telling the truth. As John says here, there are many who are not. There are many who are false prophets. And so even in John's day, there were people claiming to be apostles who were not. They were claiming to hear from the Lord and had not. And were proclaiming things that were contrary to what God had said and contrary to the Word of God. And so John warns them, yes, you have the Spirit of God. You have the Holy Spirit. It indwells you. So be discerning. Be careful. What you're then listening to, what spirit you're listening to, because they're not all of God. Now, every single person who says, I've heard a word of the Lord, is telling the truth. In fact, many, many are not. Perhaps you've gone to a church where that's a really popular thing. And I don't have a problem with, right? There are times when we need to seek the Lord and we are seeking a word, an encouragement from Him in our lives. Right? We need that at times. But to manufacture it, to speak it just to be looked upon favorably, right? There's a lot of that that goes on. A new thing that's been going on lately that I've heard of is this thought of prophesying. Right? They prophesy, tell future events. They do fortune telling in church. That's all they're doing. Right? Oh, the Lord is speaking to me and He tells me that for you, you're going to have a blessed blah, 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 whatever. Right? And they make something up. Right? That's going on. Is that of God? Of course not. Right? Is that kind of how the Spirit speaks? No. Right? We need to be discerning. And that's what John is saying clear back then. And now I think even more so. There are so many lies out there. There are so many people thinking that they hear from the Lord and they are not. And I think as we see a rise of people claiming to hear a word of the Lord, it's just a sign that Jesus is coming. Right? There are more false prophets. There are more people who are speaking falsely. And so as we look at this, you're like, I thought you said we had questions here. We do. But as I look at this, right, there's some questions we need to ask ourselves to help us live as overcomers, to help us live in victory. And the first question is, Jesus enough? And I know I ask that question a lot. You've heard me say that. I ask that question many times. But we need reminder, we need to think about that. Is Jesus enough? And John brings that question up here. Is Jesus enough? Because there are false teachers claiming that He is not. He's not enough. You need something more. You need more of an experience, or you need whatever. And so they minimize who Jesus is. They minimize either His humanity or they minimize His deity. In John's day, they were minimizing His humanity because it didn't fit the person of Jesus Christ as 100% man and 100% God did not fit within Greek philosophy. Because they believed in the spiritual realm, for sure. And certainly they didn't have a problem with somebody being human. But this thought that someone would be completely human and completely God, they did not accept. And the thought that someone, that a God would be fully human, that would be, that just made absolutely no sense to them. And so they rejected it. And they claimed that Jesus had come just as a spirit, just as an angel. He wasn't really truly human. He just manifested Himself as human. He wasn't really flesh and blood. He did not have human DNA as we do. He wasn't the same. And so there were many preaching that, proclaiming that, because that fit with the philosophy of the day. And so they minimized who Jesus is. We do the same thing today. Except I think most go the other direction. At least in our society. I think most people, if you pinned them down, would acknowledge that historically there was a man named Jesus who walked the face of this earth 2,000 years ago. Right? Most would acknowledge that. I mean, the evidence is undeniable. Right? But to then proclaim He is God, He is the one who created this universe, that doesn't fit with our worldly philosophy today. Who denies anything spiritual, who denies that there is a God. Right, so they deny that in our society today. Right, so they accept that Jesus was, well, He was just a good man. Yes, yes, perhaps he lived perfectly, but he was a good man. He was a prophet. He spoke these wonderful words that make us feel great and fuzzy. Right, that's what people proclaim. And is that who Jesus is? No. And so that's what John is talking about. Is Jesus enough? As proclaimed by the Scriptures, as 100% human just like us, and yet 100% God, our Creator, our Maker. Is He? Do we believe it? Do we accept it? Because if He is not man, we have no substitute. The atonement is worthless. We have no one to stand in our place before Almighty God and to represent us. If He is not man, if He is just a manifestation, not truly human, then He cannot represent us before the throne of God. Our sins cannot be placed on Him. It doesn't work. He has to be. And that's why the Scriptures record. He was born into this world. Birth of the Virgin Mary. He came. He grew up. He lived in this world just like us. And yet, He lived a perfect life. Able to represent us. But on the other hand, if He is not God, then the atonement is limited. Because as a human, right? As just human, He can only represent one other person. Right? That's it. Right? The sins of only one other person. He could live a perfect life, but if He is not God, He can only be the substitute for one, because He is one. If He's just man. That's how that works. But He's not just man. He is God, an infinite being, who is able then to represent all of us, who is able then to take the sacrifice Himself for all the sins. The atonement's not limited in any way. All sin. Hey, He is able to take upon Himself all of that. And so again, we come back to this. Is Jesus enough? As proclaimed in the Scriptures, is there anything else we need? No. Jesus is enough. He is sufficient to save us. And here's the thing. If he's enough to then save us and be our atonement and to redeem us and cleanse us of our sin, He's certainly enough to sustain us. And so there are false teachers, and there's false teachers today that would subtract from Jesus, that say you need something more. When I went to school, to college, I went from northern Idaho to the panhandle of Florida on a Greyhound bus twice a year for 4 years. Well, I guess 3 years, because 1 year we drove our little Aspire all the way down there. But for 3 years, rode the Greyhound bus, met a lot of different people, have a lot of stories. But I met this one family, a Korean family. And they were just traveling to see the United States. And they saw my Bible and they were like, "Oh, are you a Christian?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then so we got to talk and we had a great conversations. But he wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. That was his main thing. And he made this statement. He said, "I've experienced Jesus when I was saved, and I experienced the Holy Spirit when I speak in tongues. But now I want to experience the Father." And I just felt, man, you've missed it. I'm not saying he's not saved. But the Scriptures tells us all about Jesus. Right? Jesus is enough. We don't need to be seeking some other experience or looking for something else. He's sufficient. He's enough. And so if we're always looking for something else, we will never be satisfied with who Jesus is. We will struggle. We're going to struggle. And so in order to be victorious, in order to overcome, we have to come to this place where we understand and we realize Jesus is enough. He's all I need. He's all I need. And then the second question, kind of along the same lines, is the Word sufficient? Is the Word of God, as we have it, and been preserved for us, is it sufficient? Has God communicated everything that we need to know through His Word, through His written Word? Or is there more? Is there some secret knowledge that's gained in some other way? There are people that claim that. Right? There's people that teach that. And I would submit to you, in order to overcome, in order to be victorious in your life today, you need to come to a place where you understand this is all we need. This is sufficient. There were people teaching stuff that didn't align with what the Word of God said. And so John is calling them out. John is saying, look, you have to take what people are saying and you have to filter it through what God's Word said, because it is sufficient. And so John says here that there are those who are of God, and the people who are of God acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge that this is the Word of God. Acknowledge that John, as an apostle, was speaking the truth. And those that are not, those were not of God, they didn't listen. They didn't hear it. They didn't want to hear what John had to say. They refused. And so John says, right, those who are of God, right, they hear this, they understand this, they accept that this is truth. So he's saying those who would add, those who would subtract, they are not of God. It may sound good, but it's not of God. And so John is reaffirming these two truths, these two thoughts, that as we overcome, we understand that the Holy Spirit indwells us, and the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. And so we have the power, we have the victory to overcome. And we need to come to this place where we understand Jesus certainly is enough. And the Word of God is certainly sufficient for all that we need in this life. It is. And if we believe that, then we need to know it. We need to be in it. So then I want to look from the negative, kind of negative a little bit, because I think John does that here. And so our second point here is signs of living in defeat. Signs of living in defeat. Certainly, yes, the victory is won. And we need to live, we need to allow the results of that to impact our lives now, every day. But that's not, it's not automatic. It's not. And unfortunately, there are those who are living in defeat. Temporary. But they're living in defeat. Perhaps you've been there. Right? I think we all, if we're going to be honest, right? Do we always live in victory over sin in our lives? Are we always in control of our emotions? Are we always saying the right thing? Are we always speaking things that are good and edifying? Is that always coming out of our mouths? Are we always living in victory? Are we always overcoming? I understand there, right? There are times when we're not. But there should be progress. And that's what John's reinforcing, right? There should be overcoming is this thought of progress. Right? There are times when we do live in defeat, and so John addresses that here. And what does that look like? And the first one here is they are deceived. Right? What's the sign that you are living in defeat? You are deceived. That's what John says, test the spirits. Right? Why are we testing the spirits if it doesn't matter? Because we are able to listen to wrong spirits. We are able to be deceived by wrong spirits. And so John says, be careful, be discerning. You have the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you. Listen to that. Unfortunately, there are many who are deceived, who wander for a time down the wrong path, whether because they're not grounded in the Word of God, or they're just lazy, or they're naive, or just accepting of what anyone would say and don't filter it through what God says. I know people who just don't want to offend. I have friends who are going to a church that teaches bad doctrine. It does. Teaches lies. And they're going to that church because of expectation. They're going to that church because they know better. But they're going to it because of a situation. They just don't want to offend people. I'm like, that's living in defeat. That's not doing your family any good. They're deceived. And so John just reminds us here, there are false teachers. There are fake spirits out there. They are the spirit of Antichrist. They are against Christ. They are there to destroy the work of the Holy Spirit. They are there to keep you from experience the victory and joy that is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have that relationship. Live in it. And so, yes, there are those who are deceived. The second is worldly. Right? There are those who are worldly. And John brings that up here in this thought of, right, the false teachers. They are of the world. But also, as believers, sometimes we get sucked in to worldly things. John has already told us, do not love the things of the world. Right? Don't make that your passion. But he says here, right, there's false teachers, and they are of the world. They are of that worldly system. Look at chapter 5, verse 19. Because here we get the definition. If you're struggling with this thought of world, right, here's how John is defining it. Chapter 5, verse 19. He says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." Right? That's what John's talking about. Right? That which lies under the sway of Satan, that it's influenced by that which is satanic. And that's the world. That's the world we live in. Right? Politically, right? However you want to say it, right? There is a great satanic influence. And so there are those who are false teachers, and we can gauge who they are based on how the world reacts to them. Because they're endorsed by the world. Right? They're endorsed because the world loves to hear what they have to say. There are certain teachers, and you hear them teach, but then I hear, places that I know are of the world and speak of the world. They are influenced by the world. And when they praise those teachers, red flags start going up in my head. Right? Maybe they're sound. What's going on here? Right? Really, where are they at? What's truly going on here that people that I know are of the world are praising these people? How does that work? Because John says here, if the world hates those who are not a part of them. And so here are these false teachers, and the world supports them, the world promotes them, the world endorses them. Be careful. Be discerning. We should love people. We should love people, but we should not be seeking the approval of the world, nor should we be seeking the approval of people at the expense of compromise. And I see that all over. Perhaps you do as well. Churches that were once, right, great sources of light, great sources and foundations of teaching the truth and drawing people to God, have now compromised the truth. I've now made a pact, really, with the devil. Compromised what they believe. Have allowed themselves to accept worldly principles and worldly ideals into their church. And it's left them without a testimony. It's left them without any power at all. They water down the gospel. And in doing that, they compromise the gospel. There is no victory in their words. There's no power in their words. It's always surprising. Right? Just the different things that are going on, and all of a sudden you find out a church is now teaching and preaching those things. You're like, what? What happened? And so as John says here, be discerning. Right? Be discerning. So what does it look like living in defeat? Well, certainly deceived, and certainly being sucked into wanting to be accepted by the world, for sure. But here's the thing that I get back to. That we need to hear. God is faithful. Right? God is faithful. He is the one who gives us the victory. He is the one who helps us to overcome. And so we need to be surrendered. We need to be in submission. We need to abide. As John has already told us, we need to abide in Christ. And we need to allow the things of Christ to abide in us. And as John says here, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Is there a need to be careful? Is there a need to guard our hearts? Yes. So John says this, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so the question that I have is, which spirit are you listening to? Right? Which spirit are you listening to? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, reaffirms who Jesus Christ is. It reaffirms our relationship with Him. Reaffirms the Word of God. The Spirit of this world reaffirms me. Reaffirms I. Is selfish. And draws us away from the truth and draws us away from Jesus Christ. And it leaves us defeated, it leaves us empty, it leaves us distracted, it leaves us dysfunctional, it leaves us wallowing in pride and self-pity. But again, God is faithful. And those who are His, He will not allow to continue to live in defeat. I believe that. And so, my prayer for us as a church, my prayer for you this morning, is that your relationship with Jesus, that it would be rich and it would be satisfying. You wouldn't be seeking that anywhere else but in Him. And my prayer is also that the Spirit of God would give you the discernment that you need. My daughter was at a school, a month ago. And there were some things being taught that were not according to the Word of God. And so she would ask some of the other kids, this is what's being said. What do you think about that? I'm like, this is the church we belong to. So we're just going to believe whatever is said. We have no discernment, practically, is what they're saying. We've never taken the time to actually look at the Word for ourselves and figure out what we believe. And so I would encourage you this morning, don't take my word for anything, right? Pastor Josh told me. No, that flies. That means nothing. What does the Word of God say? Right? What is the Word? What do you believe based on what God's Word says? So that when you're challenged in what you believe, you can say, I know God says this. Or maybe it's like, I've never really thought about that. Let me go see what the Bible says. Now, you can come ask me questions. I'm okay with that. But I try to always encourage people, know this for you. Like, yes, have I thought a lot of this stuff throughout for myself? Of course. I know what I believe and I'm confident in what I believe. But we need that. Right? Don't take that. Take what this says. And so again, as John says, we need to be overcomers. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And we need to guard our hearts and we need to be grounded in that thought. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You love us. We thank You that You've given us everything we need. You haven't hidden anything from us. There's no secret knowledge. There's nothing special. It's just laid out, just simply. We just need to trust in Your provision of salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. That's all we need. And You give us Your Spirit to help us to live a life that glorifies You. Oh Lord, in our lives today, help us to be overcomers. In our lives tomorrow, Lord, help us to be victorious and overcoming each and every day. And in those times where we experience defeat, oh Lord, grab us, rescue us. Bring us back to what is right. Oh Lord, we need You. Help us to be submissive to Your Spirit. Help us to listen to that which is true. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as we close our service, we're going to sing a new song. Well, it's an old song. So some of you may have flashbacks to the 70s. I don't know if that's good or bad. That's when this song came out. I remember hearing this song a long, long time ago when I was a little kid. And as I was going through this passage, it came back to my mind. So that one good thing about the internet is you can look those things up and find them. So I found this song. So we'll sing through it. We'll sing through it twice. So you might have to go back to the beginning. Got it?
I'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. Okay. So you can try singing or you can kind of follow along and then we'll go back through it again. Some of you may know this song.